Caviar Torridum. Written and read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, explicit. Relationships, Kit Fisto, Monk, Kit Fisto, Original Clone Troopers, and Kit Fisto, Fox. Also tagged for Clone OCs, Egg Preg, Not Overposition, Kit Fisto Grows His Own Eggs, Xenobiology, World Building, Dodgy Alien Biology, Orgy, Heat Fic, Public Sex, Semi-Public Sex, Kit Fisto's Amazing Tits, Timeline What Timeline, Fix It, Because I Can't Not, Breeding Kink, Multiple Orgasms, Overstimulation, Egg Laying, Cum Inflation, Accidental Pregnancy, Explicit and Enthusiastic Consent, Fantasizing While Having Sex, Dirty Talk, Wanting to Fuck But Having to Be Professional, Lingering Shadow of Danger That's Mostly Ignored, Because I'm Not Here to Write Intricate Plots. Kit Fisto rarely felt safe anymore. Not that being a Jedi was ever a safe job, but it used to be that the ratio of time he spent in the safety of the temple or on Glee Anselm far outweighed the time he spent in heightened danger situations, with most of his time spent somewhere in between those extremes, in negotiations, traveling, and being the token Jedi at a party. Now, however, he spent more time on active battlefields and in dangerous underwater rescues than meditating in the temple or splashing with the younglings on Glee Anselm. His body knew it. He hadn't been in season in far, far longer than usual. His body sensing the stress and danger and refusing to create the eggs inside him. Which was for the best, given that Kit was in the middle of a war and he doubted that anyone would allow him to retreat to Glee Anselm for 3 months to be fucked, gestate, lay his eggs, and recover properly. Oh, and help fertilize others' eggs. For part of the spawning season. Not that it was a true season, given Nautolans were now spread across the galaxy. Was always helping others as you were helped. That was a significant part of the 3 months. Or so Kit was told. He'd never participated in a spawning season. He normally relaxed in a pool in the room of 1,000 fountains until he could no longer bear it and asked a friend, any or all of them who were free, to fuck him hard enough that his body thought it got what it wanted and released his unfertilized eggs to enrich the water. A single human, and most close to human, ejaculation wouldn't make it to his eggs, let alone fertilize them. Kit knew he wouldn't be able to let his spawn go. Some Nautolans did, of course. Nautolans were raised communally, but most stayed with or close to their schools. Kit didn't have a school. Or rather, the Jedi were his school. But the Jedi wouldn't, couldn't, raise all his offspring. And Not all would be Force-sensitive, besides. Jedi weren't supposed to have offspring in the first place, and if they did, they weren't supposed to care for them more than any other person in the galaxy. Kit knew he would fail that. He knew most Jedi would fail that. So he never attended a spawning season. He hadn't grown eggs for years now. His life too dangerous. His lack of school felt even deeper with so little time in the temple around his friends and mentors and the creche. Only his soldiers, not Vorda. He hadn't been invited to call them that. And not his men either, because not all were men as humans use the term. Were trustworthy. And there were many of them. Not as many as some of the other crews. His was a specialized group, after all. But more people than Kit was used to being close to and trusting. Almost as many as a full school. And they had some time away from battle. Their ship's hyperdrive cracked in their last daring rescue, and they were stationed at Chibi Station. Many other schools, crews, checked in with them as they passed through. The situation wasn't perfect. He wasn't expecting eggs to grow. This wasn't his home. This wasn't safe. These people weren't his. Or rather, they were too much his by definition of the contract between the Jedi and the Kaminoans and the appointment of the Jedi as generals by the Republic Senate. And he wouldn't ever presume to demand anything of them. Touch, their time, their regard, because of that power disparity. And yet, his body was fed up with a lack of safety, and considered this meager portion enough. He trusted his battalion with more than his life. He would trust them with his spawn. They'd had the same ship since the beginning of the war. They'd personalized her. Fry found paints on a planet they rescued and painted a very fetching version of Kit on the outside. Very artistic. All flowing tentacles and heaving pectorals. Everyone added something to her interior, whether it be painted murals or haphazardly made cushions, or the riot of a garden taking over the hydroponic sector and spilling into his aquatic facilities. And while Kit wasn't safe, there was a war and he was in the middle of the action. He was safe on the ship, safe with his school, safe for a momentary rest. His body responded to that perceived safety and began to grow eggs. He didn't notice at first, too busy with the repairs and all the other administration work that endlessly needed to be completed, and just as endlessly was pushed off because more immediate events occurred during the war, only to rise its head from the depths and loom back into existence during the brief moments of respite. By the third week of their ship's convalescence, he'd noticed. It was slightly more difficult to move, his body beginning to fill out in places it had slimmed down as the war went on. His features changing slightly, hips widening, tendons stretching, pectorals swelling further. He'd always tended more towards the feminine features of a Natolan, with his large pectorals and flexible hips. Spawning was never a time of dysphoria the way it was for some of his species, their bodies changing to genders that they didn't feel comfortable with, highlighting features they would rather not have. Not that any Natolan was truly a single gender. They all slid from one to another like ocean currents. Kit knew he didn't have time to indulge in this, even if his aquatic facilities were more than adequate for the process of allowing himself to fill with eggs and have them press deliciously against him and fill the bits of him made too hollow by war. He had no one to fuck him. Even if they were in a well-trafficked station, they weren't central, and those that stopped here were only temporary and needed to be fit for duty when they left, not sore and fucked out of all energy. He wasn't worried. Their hyperdrive would be repaired in approximately a week, and they would be on their way. His body would know the danger and stress, and he would reabsorb the eggs. He could relax and enjoy the bubbly feeling of the beginning of their conception. It took longer than a week. One set of repairs led to another, and parts were delayed, and then the Senate rerouted several negotiating parties to the Chibi station and tasked Kit with helping those succeed, which gave their head engineer Fry time to go over the entire engine and all mechanical parts, and the rest to scrub the ship top to bottom. It gave Kit's body time to grow his eggs, more and more of them. They pressed against him, causing his slit to push open and his genitals to squirm as they got brief exposures to air before Kit managed to pull them back inside. They caused him to flush and give off heat, a sure sign he was in season, a signal flare to other Nautolans. They caused him to bloat, at first nicely, then continuing and causing his body to change and swell to accommodate the amount of eggs inside him. He spent as much time as possible in his aquatic facilities, surrounded by the plants his battalion cared for. Then some of the scuba scouts were out at a bar. Kit had furnished every soldier with as many credits as he could feasibly spare and squirreled away from their budget, so they could enjoy their not-official leave. Surely wooing the Natborns on the station with stories of valor, when a nervous Twi'lek approached, and before Kit knew it, he was helping facilitate a separatist planet joining the Republic, helping the organized rebellion that had freed the planet form a cohesive and effective government. Needless to say, his priority was not remembering how many days he had before he needed to throw his body into a high-danger and high-stress situation in order to trigger the reabsorption. He'd been planning on requesting a short solo mission to accomplish it, but needless to say, it didn't happen. A cramp in his gut was the first indicator that the time for gentle spawning or reabsorption had passed. He flinched in the middle of a meeting with Kyleth, the Twi'lek woman who first approached Radar. Kit knew she would be an amazing senator one day. She and Senator Amidala would ruin many a corrupt government's plans, he was sure. "Problems, sir?" Monk asked after the meeting was concluded. Kit grimaced but shook his head. "A personal matter. I'll take care of it soon." He'd message his friends and see if anyone was close enough to visit. There was something wrong with Monk's general. This was alarming, both because Jedi were incredibly resilient in general. General Fisto specifically brushed off all sorts of injuries that would put a Vaud out for weeks. And because General Fisto was generally fairly open with the Vaud about his well-being. They all knew how much time he needed in the water and how to tell if he wasn't getting it, for example. General Fisto retreated to his pool room with another grimace. He'd been spending significantly more time in there than normal. At first, Monk figured it was because they were kinda sorta on leave, and so General Fisto was taking time to relax. But now he wasn't so sure. Two Vaud were already coming down the corridor, in full kit, buckets on, blasters on their shoulders. They stationed up at the door, and Monk relaxed. He wasn't the only one who'd noticed then. He nodded to them. "Got rotations all figured out. Clownfish squads on days, eels on nights. The general never sees us. Normal injury policy," Fish reported. "Get him to open up, sir?" Geekov asked. "Working on it. Keep up the good work," Monk said as he walked away, secure in the knowledge that the general was safe. He slid onto a bench in the mess, food in hand. He knew better than to approach any medic aboard the Leviathan in the mess without food in hand. That was a good way to end up stuffed with more Nutribars than a Vaud could feasibly eat. "Talk to me, Sturgeon." Sturgeon glanced up from the food he was shoveling gracelessly into his mouth. "General, Fry, or Medbay?" Monk opened his mouth to demand a sit rep on the general, then paused. If the general needed immediate evac, the medbay needed to be ready to go. "Medbay," he said resignedly, only, "Fry, he huff a new kind of paint fume." Sturgeon laughed and said, Nah, that damn allergy acting up again. Something on the station. Shit, Tib with him? And it's Sturgeon's nod. He and Tib might as well be an item with how often they're together. Another thing to worry about. Vorta didn't have allergies. They knew shit about how to deal with them. And Fry's was bad. Sturgeon opened his mouth, a glint in his eye, and Monk cut him off. No, no jokes or puns or innuendos about the Vorta. Sit rep on the med bay, and then you can tell me all about how our general's tits are more pillowy than ever. He tried to frown, but ended up rolling his eyes at Sturgeon's eyebrow waggle. The man was a hazard. One of the older batches. He was a batchmate with Cody and Fox, and it criffing showed. The Kaminoans did something to that batch. He got the rundown on the medbay. Generally in better condition than ever, given their long stay to stock up. But their stocks of plasts, dentoplasts, and other barrier devices, as well as all the contraceptive sprays and temporary sterilization shots, were all devastated by the extended not-quite-leave. Every Vorta, part of the 69th, got a talk from Sturgeon on sexually transmitted everything. It was a talk no Vod wanted to sit through again. If you caught something by being careless, you would not only get it again, you'd get an extended version. Monk tried to forget how he found this out. Sturgeon ended every talk with the warning that if a Vod caught something, then if the chance to fuck the general ever came up, he'd ban them. Needless to say, they went through record amounts of safety devices. There was also the fact that before they left Kamino, the Kaminoans made every Vod incredibly aware that they were not sterile, but that children were covered by Kaminoan proprietary intellectual property law, and that the Kaminoans would track down not only the clone who impregnated the other being and decommissioned them, but also the child and claim them as property of Kamino, to be done with as they wish. No Vod ever forgot the sterilization or contraception, and many Vorta stuck to fucking each other for a sure bet of not giving a child to that fate. Then Monk got the sit rep of the general, and it was confusing. Until 3 days ago, Sturgeon thought General Fisto was healthier than he'd ever seen him, almost glowing with it. Sturgeon slyly added that the glowing wasn't literal. The general's bioluminescence wasn't involved. Monk chose to ignore the wordplay. And had a lightness to his step that they rarely saw. Sometime between then and today, that health had taken a sharp dive. Sturgeon was researching, but hadn't drawn any conclusions. You should ask him, Sturgeon said as he finished the rundown. I'm not the head medic, Monk deflected. He didn't want to ask his general such a personal question. He already cared about the Jeti too much. He didn't need to be opening the door for more personal conversations. I'm not the commander, and the one he takes with him on all the romantic evening scouting missions. Monk cut him off. A tray slammed down onto the table. Well, I think both of you should go. Monk shoved a sporkful of food into his mouth to keep himself from responding to radar. Their head scout was a great Vod, a brilliant scout, and the nosiest out of a vat a Vod can encounter. Yeah, Comm Chatter's got the senatorial guard coming into dock in about a week, and you know they're going to drag the general into whatever they're here for. And there was Radar's other half, their comms and tech whiz, Sholar. Watching Sturgeon pinch the bridge of his nose was hilarious, given how many times he made Monk do it. Especially since... Isn't your batchmate Bestie part of that squad? Radar asked. Monk grinned as Radar and Sholar started to grin Sturgeon on his senatorial connections. But still... Radar did have a point. If they wanted to get to the bottom of what was happening to their general, now was the time. Let's go, Sturgeon. Unless you want to tell them how Fox likes to fuck, we're better off looking into the medbay restocking, Monk said, standing and setting his tray on the stack to be cleaned. Sturgeon flipped him off, but turned in his tray and followed him out of the mess. We're seeing the general? Obviously. The general was still in his pool. He normally only spent this long in there, when he was very relaxed or injured. There was one mission where he got hit with an opiate and spent the entire time he was high as a cruiser in the pools trying to get any vod he saw to swim with him. It had been hilarious. Monk and Sturgeon slipped into the room. The lights were low and the general's bioluminescence was out, giving the entire space a soft, wavering glow. Monk could hear his breathing as they approached, and it was heavier than normal. A slight keening undertone to it that made Monk think their general might be in pain. He was about to bolt to his side when Sturgeon said, Oh, Criff, sounding more embarrassed than concerned. The tone made Monk pause and take a second look and see, Oh. Those were the general's genitals, waving in the pool like fronds of seagrass, like anemone bits, glowing lightly as General Fisto's fingers tangled among them. Monk's face was hot, and he felt himself harden so rapidly that he felt lightheaded and his armor hurt. He couldn't look away, not even to check if Sturgeon's face was also flushed or if he was somehow keeping it together with medic wizardry. He did manage to tear his eyes away enough to trail them up his general's abdomen and chest, both more pillowy than ever, point to Sturgeon, to rest on his face, which was flushed and open-mouthed in pleasure. General Fisto let out another little noise, this one more pained than the last, and Monk couldn't help himself. He wanted to leave quietly and later apologize for walking in, but General, I... tumbled out of his mouth at the pained sounds. He didn't even know how he wanted to finish that. General Fisto's head and tentacles twitched in their direction at the sound of his voice, and General Fisto let out a gutted sound, a strangled half-moan, and froze for a long second, the tendrils clenching tight around his fingers and his fingers clenching back. He'd orgasmed. Fuck. Monk ruthlessly tried to suppress how gorgeous their general looked while overcome with pleasure. "Are you in pain, sir?" Sturgeon asked, his voice medic calm. Vod for life. Monk took back anything bad he'd ever said about him. "I don't think interacting with your genitals should cause you pain, but we have a significant lack of information about Notolan reproduction in the Gar medical files." General Fisto's head lolled to the side to look at them, and he grimaced as he detangled his fingers, a small, pained and mournful sound escaping him, obviously accidental at the separation. "You don't have to," Monk blurted. "Criff, he couldn't control himself with this in front of him. Fuck! Sir." That really didn't make it better. He knew. Just knew that Sturgeon was going to be merciless about this once they weren't in front of their general anymore. "If that's making it more painful, you don't have to stop. Not on account of us, sir." He trailed off, feeling himself flush, his whole face and down his neck. That wasn't better either. "If it will help you, please continue, sir," Sturgeon said, still in his professional medic voice. Not a hint of the leering, appreciative gaze that he shot at their ship's artwork or the general when he was working out. How he was staying professional, Monk didn't know. He kind of wanted to strangle him for it, but also he was so incredibly grateful that at least one of them was professional about this. "We do need a rundown on your current medical status. The rest of us seem to be doing well, but if you're coming down with something... or if there's a physiological problem that's happening to you, I need to know." General Fisto hesitated. His tentacles twitched in the equivalent of a human blinking themselves back to full awareness. His hand drifted towards his groin before he stopped it and asked, "You don't mind? I don't want to make you uncomfortable." If only that was Monk's problem. He wished that being uncomfortable was his problem here. "I'm sure we'll survive seeing our extremely attractive general finger himself while debriefing us on his medical condition," Sturgeon said, and Monk reflexively looked at the general's fingers, which, fuck, were dipping slightly into his genital pouch. His tentacles were wrapping around them to pull them in deeper. He was jolted out of their mesmerizing dance by Sturgeon choking out a strangled, "Sir!" Sturgeon was flushed with embarrassment. Apparently, he hadn't meant to say that either. Glad to know it wasn't just Monk who was overwhelmed by this. General Fisto just chuckled and relaxed at the words. Monk couldn't help but notice that as he relaxed, his fingers slipped deeper into himself. Monk would love to relax. However, his general was still unwell, evidenced by the fact that he couldn't stop touching himself in front of them. And also, Monk's cock was pressed against his codpiece in a way that was starting to get painful. If he relaxed, he was going to rip off the piece of armor and jerk off all over his general's face. Which, for obvious reasons, he wasn't going to let himself do. He struggled even harder to hold onto his self-control while their general explained that he was glowing with health because he'd hit spawning season, because he felt safe with them on their ship, that he was full of unfertilized eggs and needed to be fucked hard to be rid of them, but that he'd be fine. He'd calmed a friend who would arrive within the week, that he would feel bloated and painfully full until then, but that it would pass as the unfertilized eggs would. There was more detailed medical information that passed right over Monk's head. Sturgeon caught it and asked for clarification at some points. Monk was stuck on their general calling someone in to fuck him. He didn't need to do that. Any Vod on the ship would fuck him as hard as he wanted. They'd work together if they had to. And yet, if their general wanted to keep things professional, they'd do that. He and Sturgeon wouldn't spread it around, merely reassure the Voda that their general was all right and furiously suck each other off. It didn't help Monk's self-control that his general was dipping his fingers in deeper and deeper as he talked, his voice starting to hitch in time with the thrusts. Monk wondered what it felt like to swirl them, to brush the base of the tentacles there, if a Vod's fingers could even reach. He wondered what it tasted like when he came, which he did, his voice cracking into a moan mid-sentence. Once again, Monk's mouth betrayed him. "If your friend doesn't show up, you can ask us, sir. Any of the Voda would be happy to help you." He snapped his mouth shut and felt his cock press even harder at the inside of his codpiece when his general's large eyes, lazy with orgasm, turned to him. But he wouldn't take it back. It was true. "I would never presume," General Fisto said. Monk opened his mouth to tell him that it wouldn't be presumptuous or an imposition or whatever self-sacrificing jetty thing he was assuming, that Monk would have to run a lottery system for who got to help out, because otherwise they'd have fist fights for the honor. He didn't get to say any of that, though, because General Fisto continued speaking, a relaxed cadence that allowed his native Nautolan accent to slip in a bit. "However, if my friend falls through and I can't contact another, I'll take your words into consideration." Monk swallowed and tried not to be disappointed. That was a fairly plain rejection. His point got across, and he hoped that if it came to it, the general knew he had the option. But it was clear that they'd be the last option. The next week was tense. Monk and Sturgeon didn't tell the Voda that General Fisto was in season, but everyone knew that something wasn't right. Where before a Vod caught General Fisto in the pools and managed to keep it together long enough to get back to the barracks before breaking down and grabbing themselves, still in most of their armor, gasping, "Holy shit, he looks hot when he's a healthy weight." Now Fish caught General Fisto in the pools and updated Sturgeon, before seeking out Fry to see if the temperature controls were in peak condition. It was seeing the General flush lightly at the most innocent of things, blood high and mind elsewhere, and knowing he was horny, but also knowing why and being worried about it. It was Cook in the mess, offering a Nutribar instead of the meal, on offer, saying, "No, you aren't eating anything but these right now, sir. I've got some Darunin red legume sauce if you want it, fresh from that amazing food stall in the market. Puffer's begging them to teach him how to make it. It's got even more protein, but more flavor. In case your nausea, is it nausea, is acting up, you know ahead of time and can take the bar instead." It was Sholar on general bodyguard duty in Chibi Station, with General Fisto dropping some pads and moving to catch them, and having Sholar already there, diving to catch the pile. "Because we know you're protecting your joints, sir. You seem extra bendy, and Sturgeon gave me a talking to about how surprise extra bendy joints aren't as stable and are easier to injure. We got this." It was watching the General wince as he moved and pressed at his abdomen when he knew no one other than Monk was watching. It was, most embarrassingly, Radar coming up to Monk in the mess and joking, "The General's moving like Senator Amidala. We gonna have younglings to protect soon?" And having to keep a straight face and act normal, as though he didn't know why the General was moving that way and how, if he was fucked right, fucked the way he wanted to be, then he might swell the way Senator Amidala did and birth children. It was knowing what General Fisto looked like as he came and not being able to share it with anyone except Sturgeon. Kit was in pain. He was also incredibly, unrelentingly horny. It was an odd feeling, this level of pain and discomfort and all-around unwell feeling, combined with a high state of arousal. Now, Tolans weren't a race that naturally required, or expected, to feel pain or cramping when aroused, and Kit wasn't into that sort of play on a normal basis. It had been a week. Kit was vaguely aware that the senatorial guard had arrived, escorting Senator Amidala. He was acutely aware that Mace wasn't with them as promised. Mace sent an apologetic message citing an emergency in a system on the way to Chibi Station. His arrival would be delayed at minimum a week. He trusted that Kit could protect Senator Amidala and that he could find a solution for his biological needs. He sent extra funds, and Kit supposed that was an option. He could hire a being to help him through his season. However, as skilled as a professional would be, and as helpful as that suggestion would have been 2 weeks ago, Kit is well past the point where he could relax for anyone he didn't trust deeply. Which led him to his current dilemma. He could ride this out. Mace would arrive too late to do anything but comfort Kit and take over his duties while he convalesced. But he wouldn't die without being fucked. He would only feel like he wanted to. Passing eggs alone was apparently one of the most miserable experiences a Nautolan could go through, and had killed them in the past. But Kit had skilled medical staff that would get him through the crisis and would survive. Or he could take the offer Commander Monk and CMO Sturgeon made. The offer that had stayed with him, floating up from the depths of his mind whenever his attention wandered. The offer of many people, all of whom Kit trusted deeply, all of whom cared for him in return, all of whom were untouchable in the regular course of their lives, given their situation. Kit knew that his battalion would help him through this. And he wanted to believe they would do so willingly and eagerly. His genitals certainly reminded him of Monk and Sturgeon's flushes and the scent of arousal that overwhelmed even his own heated scent when they watched him orgasm. But he couldn't be sure. Many acts that were lovely fantasies became unwanted or horrifying when approached for real. However, Given the option of a health crisis that would possibly take him months to overcome and recover from, or the time it would take for Monk to select some willing volunteers and fuck Kit's body into cooperating, Kit needed to offer. If he was in recovery, his scuba troopers would be assigned elsewhere, and he wouldn't make the choice between reassignment and fucking a superior officer for them. Besides, he only needed two or so volunteers. He was sure at least two of his soldiers would be willing. And if they weren't, he was fairly certain that Sturgeon and Monk would consent to standing guard and monitoring him while he hired a professional, which might be enough to trick his body into feeling safe with that person, even this deep into season. Master Fisto! Kit smiled wanly at Senator Amidala even as he swayed on his feet, his body giving up any semblance of function now that his mind was on board. Ah, Senator, my apologies. He broke off with a wince as he stumbled, caught by a plastoid pauldron bracing him beneath an arm. The feel of the smooth armor against him so soon after his decision had his fronds sliding out of his pouch all at once, disgorging themselves into the chilly air of the station and nearly making Kit's eyes roll back. The smell and feel in the force was all wrong, but the commander accompanying Senator Amidala was close enough to Monk and Sturgeon and the rest to trigger a strong reaction. He dredged up a grin for the senator. I'm afraid any plans that need me will have to wait, Senator Amidala. I'm unwell. I'm so sorry to have taken you away from your recovery, she said, hand fluttering briefly, as though to touch her abdomen. Discreet, but the discretion entirely useless when Kit could feel the two small lights she was carrying. Commander Fox, I'll be with Captain Stone and Thorn. Please help Master Fisto back to his ship. The pauldron under Kit shifted, and Kit couldn't stop his full body shudder as a voice that was close to right, yet entirely wrong, spoke next to his ear. Be safe, Senator. Please return to the suite. Senator Amidala laughed gently, but her hand fluttered again, and she smiled at the commander. Very well, Fox. That apparently handled, the plastoid shifted under Kit again, and he only barely held back a whimper. Let's get you back, General. Kit blinked, and they were standing on the Leviathan. Commander Monk in front of him. Kit swayed toward him instinctively, causing Commander Fox to stumble. Kit opened his mouth to apologize, but Monk felt delicious in the force, solid and dependable and worried and desperate with care. I need... tumbled out before Kit could cut himself off. He didn't need anything. He would live regardless. He took a deep breath and tried again. Commander, is your... He swayed, and Monk stepped forward to brace him. Kit straightened in response. If Monk touched him now, Kit wasn't sure he'd be able to control himself. Is the offer you made last week... He broke off again, holding back a moan. Yes, sir, of course, Monk said, cutting into Kit's attempts to gather his words. How many of us do you need? Kit blinked and swayed with the sudden relief of having a solution. And yet, I don't need... Monk cut him off again. How many of us do you want, sir? Kit swallowed a moan. All of them. He wanted every one of his soldiers. Anyone who would like to be involved is welcome. And then, before he could second-guess himself, he let the force guide him to say... Yourself and CMO Sturgeon, he breathed through a whimper at the thought. If you aren't opposed. Of course, sir. Monk was flushed, the gorgeous color spreading from his cheeks to his ears and down his neck. Kit wanted him. Monk turned to Commander Fox. Follow radar. He'll lead you to the general's rooms. Monk wasn't freaking out. He didn't have time to lose it at the thought of his general's flushed face, the broken, I need, the knowledge that he, and many of his Vorder, would be giving their general pleasure soon. He took a breath and centered himself. He had too much to do to make the experience smooth and fulfilling for his general. He couldn't think about what was going to happen. He opened a comm. Sturgeon. The click of it connecting. What is it, Monk? Sturgeon sounded distracted. Can you be interrupted? Monk could handle setting up for their general's spawning himself if Sturgeon had an emergency to deal with. They had other medical officers if it came to that. But Sturgeon needed to know. Nothing Tib can't handle if need be. The general said yes. Monk had to take a moment to breathe after he said it. It felt different when he said it. Fuck, it was happening. Sturgeon swore and then said, I'll get my supplies. Where are you? Commander Fox of the Coruscant Guard was helping him to the pools. Commander Fox? Sturgeon sounded surprised. You let him take our general? He flinched when I tried to steady him. With what you've said about Natolan spawning, I didn't want to test his control. You said you trust Fox. Monk might be a bit defensive as he ducked through a maintenance door. I do. Shit, if he's flinching from you, he's let himself go. I'll get set up in the pools and organize supplies. Thanks, Sturgeon. Toss me your band list, Monk said as he entered the mess. From there, it was a blur of telling the Voda that they were needed by their general, that there was a lottery system set up that any Voda could sign up for, provided they weren't on Sturgeon's band list. It felt sudden to be standing at the door to the general's pool chambers. Two Voda standing guard and a third, one of Sturgeon's crew, with a pad checking him against the rotation list. None of them reacting to the noises spilling through the door into the corridor. Noises that set Monk on fire, made his cock harden against his armor, the chub he'd been sporting because of the knowledge and anticipation of the situation blooming into full hardness. Tib nodded and the door slid open, right as a warbling cry came from inside. Luck, Commander. One of his traitorous Vod was laughing at him as he steeled himself to step into the room and fulfill every wet dream he'd had since being assigned to General Fisto. He stepped through and was hit by a wall of damp heat. The humidity in these rooms was always high, but this took it to another level. The walls were practically dripping. The leaves of the plants the Vode kept around here to make it nicer for the general. And because the general patiently explained to Natborn commanders that he needed the plants around the pools, protecting them from inspections that would see anything out of place destroyed. It wasn't a problem now, but at the beginning, their general made many Vod cry by defending the items and art that made them them as necessary to his own comfort, which wasn't something a Natborn commander could easily destroy. Monk shivered in the heat, the damp seeping into every crack in armor. Normally it was uncomfortable and possibly a dangerous feeling. Now it was like the general season was seeping in and he wanted it. It still felt dangerous. The second set of doors opened. Not a true airlock, but meant to keep the humidity from the rest of the ship and its less insulated equipment. And Monk whimpered in his bucket. Their general was clinging to the side of the pool, arms spread to either side and knuckles turning white, the back of his head cradled in Sturgeon's lap, letting out little whimpers as Fox held his hips to the surface and buried his face against General Fisto's genital slit. Monk caught a flash of tongue as his general moaned again. No armor past this point, sir, Sholar said, voice still coming through his bucket, and Monk jumped, startled. He hadn't noticed the two Vode, still in full armor, standing guard inside the door. Fuck, he'd set this up and he was losing it. They were next in rotation, but they stood guard in case anyone needed to tap out suddenly and needed to be pulled away. Monk swallowed and began to shed his armor, pulling off his blacks, too. The steamy air hitting his skin and making it prickle, oversensitive already. He watched as Fox ate out Monk's general And part of him wanted to demand why Sturgeon wasn't the one nipples deep in the pool, face buried in tentacles. But Sturgeon had his pad out, somehow ignoring their general panting against his dick as he observed. It was probably important for medical reasons. General Fisto whimpered again, and Monk made an aborted move towards the water. It caught Sturgeon's attention, and he grinned. "We've been waiting for you, Commander. Kit wanted you to be the first vote inside him." "Sturgeon?" Monk's voice was strangled with embarrassed desire. He almost had to grab his dick to keep from coming at the thought that General Fisto waited for him, that he'd be the first vote of many to fill their general. Sturgeon laughed, a little breathless. "Get your ass over here. Fox has been keeping him warm, but don't make Kit wait any longer." At this, General Fisto rolled his head to the side and looked at Monk, eyes hazy and mouth half open, and moaned out, "Commander, do you need me to beg?" Fox made a strangled noise, and his fingers went tight on General Fisto's thighs, like he'd lost his footing for a moment. He looked up, and his composure was cracked, eyes a little too wide and a flush on his cheeks that wasn't from the heat. Monk could only respond by stumbling forward, tripping into the pool and only barely avoiding going completely under. His general laughed, a dreamy chuckle, but Monk couldn't feel embarrassed because even while he was laughing, his general was spreading his legs wide, unlocking them from around Fox and baring himself to Monk. He didn't see where Fox went, everything murky that wasn't General Fisto. Monk knew he needed to get inside his general and finish as soon as possible to help his general's body believe it completed spawning, but he couldn't stop himself from skimming his hands up his general's toned, strong legs, letting his hands touch hips he'd long admired, continue to rise and felt abs that everyone in the 69th lusted over, and finally settle on pecs that were the object of desire and artwork and wet dreams of every vod in the army, as far as Monk could tell. His general let out a low laugh that broke into a moan as Monk squeezed his pecs, brushing his thumbs over nipples that pebbled as the water lapped up over them and then retreated. General Fisto's legs closed around Monk, and suddenly he was there, cock snug against the waving tendrils of his general's genitals, his tentacles gently trying to direct Monk's cock into his slit. Monk shuddered and did have to grab his cock this time, desperately squeezing the base as he tried to avoid coming early. He mourned being unable to touch his general's tits and hold his hips and pinch his own thighs to try to avoid coming. It was overwhelming, suddenly experiencing the reality of all your lustful fantasies for years. "It's okay, Commander," his general slurred out. "Most people are fast the first time." Monk could only whimper at the reminder that there would probably be a next time, that this wasn't the only time he'd get to have his general, merely the first. "But, Monk," Monk blurted. Then rambled, desperate to explain as his general's eyes widened slightly. "Call me Monk. I don't think this is... I mean, chain of command is kind of... I want..." His general mercifully cut him off. "Of course, Monk. Please call me Kit in return." Monk could feel his already nearly non-existent control snapping at the sound of his name on his general's lips. But at the permission... the request to call his general by name? Monk's hips jerked and the tip of his cock pushed inside his Kit. "Kit?" he gasped, and Kit's legs closed around his hips and pulled Monk inside himself in a practiced move. White bloomed across his vision and Monk came, voice cracking on Kit's name, unable to even truly comprehend what it felt like to be inside him before pleasure swamped him like the massive waves that crashed up against the piers on Kamino. Kit let out a choked groan as Monk stilled inside him, shuddering through his orgasm. Kit couldn't help but clench around the cock finally deep inside him, pulling another shudder out of his commander and causing him to slump over Kit, relaxing into unconsciousness. Kit couldn't help but smile, even as his own body ached for more, having gotten a taste of what it wanted. His commander, Monk, Kit could call him by name here, had been on edge since he and Sturgeon had walked in on Kit, extra protective, and now that Kit let himself truly see them, on edge because of desire as well. It made Kit relax as much as possible while wired tense with discomfort and desire, to know his school wanted him, not merely wanted to help, but wanted him carnally. He gently let Monk slide off and out of him, trying to maneuver him face up. Hands grabbed him and dragged him to shore, and then Kit was empty and could think of nothing but his need. Voices spoke above him, and a cock, so similar to Monk's, pressed him open again, and Kit arched and moaned, scrabbling at the sides of the pool. This cock began a rhythmic thrusting that wasn't anything like the writhing wiggle of another Nautolan, but was what Kit's body craved after so many years being satisfied by it. He arched into the thrusts and pried his eyes open to see Commander Fox, brow furrowed in concentration, face shiny and slick from eating Kit out earlier. "Our general too much for you, Fox?" Sturgeon's voice was teasing as his fingers twined with Kit's head tentacles, his other hand still tapping at the pad, monitoring Kit's vitals and making medical notes, Kit assumed. He moaned as Fox's hips jerked hard at the teasing. "At least I'm lasting longer than Monk. You afraid to come down here and get inside your general because you'll get inside and come right away?" Fox shot back. "At least I can last long enough to show your general a good time." Kit moaned and tightened his legs around Fox's hips at the thought of more cum inside him. Sturgeon leaned down and spoke against Kit's ear, loud enough and pointed enough that Kit knew he was hoping to rile Fox up. "It's the cum more than the fucking that you want, Kit?" "Then Monk did perfectly. Got inside you, buried his face in your tits, and came for you." Kit gasped, every muscle clenching as he came. Sturgeon's voice and the image, the trigger he needed to push him over the edge. Fox cursed and froze. Sturgeon crooned. "I wonder how many of those we can pull from you before this is over. Were you getting off at all this last week? I know you tried, but did you finish?" He groaned as he floated down from his orgasm. Finally, he stretched, clenching around Fox's cock, still hard inside him, and said, "Which makes you hotter, that I spent most of last week with my fingers up my slit, but unable to come until you and your Vodas split me open and finish inside me? Or that I'm so sensitive from spending my week so aroused that I can't come without flinching?" Sturgeon's fingers clenched in his tentacles, and Kit arched against the pressure. "Because I came, thinking of your eyes on me, but it wasn't ever enough." Sturgeon's eyes went wide, and he licked his lips before saying, "There's a line in the corridor now. Vode waiting for their chance to fuck you, come inside you, fill you fuller than you've ever been, to satisfy you." Something about the flirting was catching Kit's brain, some consequence that he'd never really considered before. But Sturgeon lifted his head roughly and was kissing him, and Fox was cursing again and fucking him hard as any of his friends had. "Fuck you both," he ground out as he panted. "You fucking deserve each other." And then Fox was coming, and the feel tossed Kit over the edge again, straight into the deep end. A feeling he rarely got, where everything was a haze of pleasure and safety and satisfaction. Time went hazy for Kit after that. He knew Fox was replaced with one of the people guarding the door, and that person was replaced by another, and then another. And he knew that through it all, Sturgeon was a solid presence, supporting his head hard against his cheek, fingers ever tapping on his pad. He knew Monk was inside him more than any other, taking a turn any time he could get hard. But apart from those brief moments when he broke the surface, he spent the next immeasurable time floating in pleasure. His body used roughly and gently, pleasure rising and falling like the tides. His egg pouch drinking down every spoonful of seed while his slit was fucked raw and swollen. His genital fronds exploring every new and returning cock, welcoming them in and desperate for more. When his body was satisfied, he surfaced slowly, like laying on a beach and allowing the tide to flow out and slowly uncover a hidden being. He became aware of presences, of individuals, rather than the overwhelming mass of lust and desire and care. Two soldiers were at the door, with more outside, all in armor, all protecting him, even from themselves and from himself. The clone that wasn't his, Commander Fox, was one of those guarding the room, watching him, watching them, watching slick skin and hearing grunts and moans and tasting desire in the air even through his helmet. His commander, Monk, he was allowed to use his name, was pillowing his head, dick soft against Kit's gasping mouth. His hands groped Kit's chest, pressing his season-soft pecs into mounds that Sturgeon buried his face in. Sturgeon was inside him, and somehow Kit knew this was the first time. Everyone else had been inside him, filling him, and through it all, Sturgeon had been watching, ignoring his own cock so he could monitor Kit's body and mind, his vital signs. To be sure, Kit remained healthy throughout the extended endorphin high and rough handling. But now he'd given in to his body's demands for Kit and buried his cock in Kit's slit, and his face in Kit's tits. Tits Monk so helpfully pushed up into mounds of enticing flesh. Kit was glad he'd surfaced now, for this. The undertow of his need dissipated, but the desire for his CMO and commander still lingering. Always lingering. He raised a hand, arm almost shaking with effort, and wound fingers through Sturgeon's hair and croaked out, "Finally smothering yourself in my tits, Sturgeon. Is it everything you dreamed of?" Sturgeon's hips jerked and Kit moaned as he felt more warm potential life enter him. "General, fuck, General Fisto, yeah, it's everything," Sturgeon panted out as he came, pleasure making him sound like he was crying. "Then feast," he rasped out, tilting his head up for the protein-heavy drink Monk tipped down his throat and tightening his legs as Sturgeon tried to pull out. He swallowed heavily and continued. "And give me another. You've teased me with this cock for too long for me to let you go with just one shot." Sturgeon blinked heavily for a moment, groaning into Kit's chest. Then he jerked upright, making Kit moan as his half-hard cock jolted inside him. "You're awake! I need..." He broke off into a whining moan as Kit tightened his legs and rolled his sore and shaky body in a wave. It was like the most glorious stretch, like waking from the depths of sleep to warm, still waters and gentle sun. "I think I can handle it while you fuck our general again." Monk sounded like he was holding back laughter. Kit hummed and nuzzled his cock. "You certainly can," he purred. "The fever has broken then?" Monk asked. "Yes, so be good and note the time for our dear CMO, so he can concentrate on fucking me again. One or two more and I should be done," Kit said, nuzzling Monk's cock again. "Yes, two. Another from Sturgeon and a final one from Monk." Monk whimpered and scrabbled for the pad, his cock filling rapidly beneath Kit's cheek. "Fox," Sturgeon's voice hitched into a cut-off whine as he closed his eyes and resettled his stance. "Yeah, you need me to come move your hips for you? Slide some fingers into you to get you hard again?" Fox said before Sturgeon could finish. Kit chuckled, which made Sturgeon choke on his words again. He glared at Kit and grabbed his hips, which felt glorious. Fingers pressing into bruises the shape of fingers the same size as his. Kit groaned and tilted his head back in Monk's lap and arched his back in appreciation. Sturgeon cursed and ground out, "Tell the Vodit that we're..." Kit clenched around him, mostly just to hear him break into a moan again, but also because he liked the feeling of their eyes on him, watching him. "Radar, send the message to stand down. Sturgeon and I will finish this out. Prep the ship. Someone check in with the Senator. Make sure the ship is ready to deploy once we're ready. Fox?" Monk hesitated. Kit could feel him steel himself before giving orders to the other commander. "If you can delegate the Senator's protection well in transport to our ship, I request you stay and observe." Kit blinked lazily and felt his genital fronds caress Sturgeon's cock as the request sank in. Observe. So formal. Made it sound less torrid than it was. But it made sense. If Monk still wanted a safeguard, Fox wasn't in any chain of command of theirs. He was of equal rank to Monk. Radar saluted and said, "Thanks for letting us help, General Fisto." He turned and left, and the small crowd of presences outside the doors dissipated, except for the two guards they kept there that they thought he didn't know about. Fox leaned against the wall next to the door, stance much more relaxed. "Well?" he said, cocking his head in a gesture Kit only saw when Sturgeon was trying to provoke one of his people into saying something that revealed an injury. "You gonna fuck him, or do you need that help, Sturica?" Sturgeon winced as he tried to move, cock oversensitive from the long tease, but then he narrowed his eyes and leaned back over Kit's chest, nuzzling into one peck and bringing a hand up to cup and grope the other. His hips started to move, like he couldn't help himself. "Are my tits everything you dreamed?" Kit asked, and Sturgeon made a desperate noise into his chest, hips jerking. "I think he likes it when you call them tits." Monk sounded like he was laughing, and Kit looked up to see his commander full of mirth, a rare sight this far into the war. Kit smiled at him, then let his smile turn wicked and said, "I'm proud of my tits, especially around spawning season. Previous partners have been able to slide their cocks between them." He broke off in a gasp as Sturgeon groaned and thrust into him roughly, chasing his own pleasure again. "You need us inside for this?" Monk said, voice lilting up at the end, confirming that it was still true. Kit groaned and arched at the pounding pleasure and groaned out, "Yes, but later. My body doesn't shift back all at once. Maybe Sturgeon could take chest measurements regularly." Sturgeon sobbed into Kit's chest, and he knew it wouldn't be long. "Maybe you'll be busy and he'll have to take them here?" Monk asked, wanting to join in the creation of this fantasy, but unwilling to assume his welcome. Ever polite and respectful, Kit's commander. Kit grinned and let his head tentacles squirm around Monk's cock, causing him to gasp. "Indeed, or on the bridge, where he'd have none of his tools and need to use his hands to measure. Or maybe even open my robes and press his cock between my tits to measure their depth." Sturgeon made a strangled noise and got rougher in a way that normally satisfied the deep need of Kit's body, that normally tricked it into thinking he'd been used in the right ways to truly spawn. But this time, as Sturgeon fucked his swollen slit hard and came inside him with a yell muffled in Kit's tits, he felt different. Full. As Sturgeon pulled out, Kit's genital fronds didn't cling or extend, searching for more or trying to hold the cock inside him. They stayed, content, inside Kit's body, mixing and stirring inside him, and he arched with pleasure he'd never felt before. His school moved around him, Sturgeon staggering away and Monk trying to slip out from under Kit's head, only Kit was arching, entire body overcome by the sensations running through it. He wanted... "Monk!" he gasped out. "Kit, your head, I can't..." Monk sounded torn and bereft, and Kit wanted to help, but he couldn't think, couldn't do anything but feel in this moment. "I got him," The feel of cool plastoid under his cheek was a welcome change to the heat of Monk's thigh. Fox cradled his head, and then Kit arched as Monk slid in, carefully pressing Kit's swollen and full genital pouch open, making space for his cock. Kit came again, gasping. He vaguely heard Fox make a joke about Monk's cock being magic and wanting to try it out, and laughing made him clench and extend his orgasm. "I've got you, Kit. You'll be okay," Monk said, and now Kit was laughing again, on the edge of hysteria, because they did have him. They had him so well that he'd actually spawned. His eggs had enough cum to actually fertilize them. He clumsily brought his hands to his belly, previously a little bloated, and now, well, he supposed he and Senator Amidala could match. There would be consequences later. When to birth these eggs, his attachment to them, who would raise his new school. All the questions he'd dodged for years by avoiding this very scenario. But for now, in this moment, Kit couldn't bring himself to regret it. He was happy to carry his school spawn, joyous to be creating life, surrounded by the light of the Vore, the light of Monk and Sturgeon and Fox and his feelings for them. "Thank you," he gasped out, pulling Monk down to join their lips. Monk tried to deny it against his mouth, but Kit wouldn't hear it. He kissed him harder, one hand on his own belly and the other wrapped around Monk's head as Monk gasped and shook and sobbed into his mouth, filling Kit one more time. Monk stood in Sturgeon's office in the medbay, clenching his fists to keep from shaking. Sturgeon was escorting Senator Amidala out of the medbay. Their CMO had insisted on a full checkup if they were going to be in charge of her health and safety. She tried to demur, but Sturgeon had insisted, and when she acquiesced, discovered her pregnancy. Not that all the CCs hadn't known. General Skywalker couldn't keep a secret to save his, or anyone else's, life, and Rex had been freaking out for months about to-be generals. She wasn't close to birthing, according to average Naboo pregnancy data Sturgeon had skimmed from the net. But she was starting to get a little round around the waist, as much as she tried to hide it. She glowed with life and health, even in the midst of trying to negotiate ceasefires, and despite all the discomfort a human pregnancy put a person through. Apparently, Monk hadn't known that human pregnancy was uncomfortable, but then Sturgeon researched it and didn't let Monk leave when he started describing what he found. She didn't hold a candle to the glow General Fisto had to him since the spawning, metaphorically and physically. His bioluminescence was showing all the time now. Monk found it hard to look at him now. He was round at the waist in a way Senator Amidala wasn't. Yet, according to Sturgeon, and the knowledge that he was filled with their cum, that he was walking around, talking to the senator, negotiating with planetary leaders, giving commands, all with their cum sitting inside him, making him swell. It wasn't just their cum. Spoonful upon spoonful added up, and Kid had been round and filled with it by the end of the spawning frenzy. Apparently there was some left, but it was being absorbed by the eggs, fertilizing them. They were going to be... Fuck. "We have to hide this," Sturgeon said as he came back into the room. "We do," Monk agreed. It would be hard given the general's glow and how his robes were tight across his belly now. At least he wasn't showing it off like some beings did when they were pregnant. They both knew the response of the Kaminoans. Visions of smashed eggs or babies raised the way they were. Visions of all their Vore killed in retaliation, flying through his head, and he knew Sturgeon was imagining the same things. "We can't not tell our Vore. They're gonna be..." He broke off, unable to formulate the words in relation to them. "Clones." "Agreed. But in a top secret way, Fox told me not to tell him anything. As far as he's concerned, he was involved in a weird Jeti orgy, but nothing more." Sturgeon slid into his chair and slumped there, looked exhausted. He'd been researching in every moment of downtime he could sneak away since that moment in the season when General Fisto smiled up at Monk, exhausted and gorgeous and shaking with the aftershocks of pleasure, and said, "It took." "Why?" Monk asked, finally sitting and breathing. This whole thing had been a whirlpool since the moment the general allowed them to help with his season. He hadn't surfaced from it yet, flowing from the chaos of organizing the spawning to the high of helping and being intimate with General Fisto to the aftermath of trying to get them on track and cover up their extended stay to this, hopefully final, rock dropped into the pool. How was he supposed to hide this? Sturgeon sighed. "I don't know, but I don't think the guard is okay. Fox won't talk about it, and I haven't had the time to sit on him and get him to fess up."
"Have him sit on you, and then bat your eyelashes and guilt him into talking, you mean?"
The attempt at a joke got only a tired smile in response, and Monk let his weak grin slide off his face. "And of course no one said anything in the commander's chat. Can't have it in writing." They both grimaced. There wasn't much they could do about the guard. "Maybe we can divert some supplies? General Fisto's pretty good at endearing himself to locals, and we can hunt," Monk said, and it was true. They could spare some supplies if it would help the guard.
"Not if we have 100 more mouths to feed," Sturgeon said. "I don't even know what infant Nautolan eat."
Before Monk could spiral into worry about the problem of more than 100 to-be generals, a voice said, "We don't need to worry about that." Both of them sprung to their feet as General Fisto shut the door behind himself. Monk had a moment of panic that someone was able to enter the office without either of them noticing, before deliberately deciding to shelve it as a Jetty thing. He swallowed and asked, "Why not, sir? Have you..." He took a breath and steeled himself. "Are you unwilling to carry to term?" That was his choice. It would make everything much simpler. No hiding from the Camino Inns. They could investigate if the guard needed the kind of help they could provide. No tubies in need of care on a warship. And yet... "I'm more than willing to carry my eggs," Kit said, glowing, and settled into the chair Monk held out to him. Legs spread slightly to accommodate his new bulk. The words settled over him, and he slumped against the wall in relief, and Sturgeon sank into his chair behind the desk again. Monk couldn't stop his eyes from lingering on General Fisto's belly and how it pulled his robes taut, knowing that he was full of them even now. Maybe he was leaking into his underwear a little, some of the cum trickling out, hurriedly gathered by his genital fronds. Fuck, his genital fronds were probably hanging out, getting everything wet because there was no room for them inside him. Monk tore his eyes away, but that only left him staring at Sturgeon, who Monk knew was looking at General Fisto's chest, swollen and puffy and mouth-watering. He shut his eyes and thought of what would happen if the Caminoans found out. He needed to focus. The general didn't deserve to be ogled. Just because he'd let them help him in his time of need didn't give them permission to disrespect him like this. "I only need to carry the eggs for a month, which, if we drag our feet and the senator is accommodating, will be the length of this mission. Then I'll lay them. Normally, I would return to Glee Anselm for that and use one of their spawning pools. However, Nautolan eggs freeze perfectly, given the right equipment, and I see no reason why we shouldn't take advantage of that." "We keep them on the Leviathan." The words were out of Monk's mouth before he'd even thought them. "Unless you want them delivered to Glee Anselm or the Jedi Temple, sir," he said belatedly. "Please," Kit smiled at them. "Call me Kit when we discuss our children. We're equals in this, as we were during the spawning. Even if the circumstances don't allow us to be in the rest of our lives." Monk wished he had his bucket on. He didn't know what his face was doing, but it was definitely doing something, and he wanted to hide. General Fisto, Kit, was so good to them.
Kit's smile gained a sly twist as he continued. I also don't mind if you look at me, Commander. I don't mind if any of... He paused for a moment, looking for the word. And Monk could feel himself flushing. You look at me. Monk swallowed and said, You can call us Vodes, sir. Vod for one person. You can call me Monk. Names go both ways. And, he swallowed again, feeling his cock press against his codpiece. Look or look. Thank you very much, Monk, Kit said as he sank further into the chair, legs spreading. Any of the Vode can fantasize about me as much as they want. I revel in it. We have a connection. I am yours. I'll never presume you to be mine, but I am your general, and I am yours. We're yours. We were made for you, Monk said. He'd never been so sure of anything in his life. Kit looked sad for a moment. I would never presume. That's why, Kit. That's why we trust you with this. Why we trust you to carry our Adike, Sturgeon said, and Kit let out a small, startled moan. Monk swallowed, mouth dry. He wanted nothing more than to get on his knees and taste Kit, worship that belly that held their eggs, make him feel like he'd just made Kit feel. His knees nearly buckled, but Sturgeon interrupted. I hate saying this. No, really. I'm normally the one Monk is pulling back from being that asshole that fucks in public, but my office is full of windows for monitoring patients, and we have guests on the ship. Sturgeon was grimacing. It was rich coming from the Vod Monk was constantly walking in on. Had walked in this office, no less. But Monk would care, and so would Kit, probably. Believe me, if we didn't have the senator and her aides and handmaidens on board, I'd have you on the desk and my face buried in your tits the moment you said you wanted us to touch you too. Or if touching wasn't allowed, then the moment you left, I'd have my hand on my cock and tell Monk that medically he needs to go sit on a butt plug. Kit blinked, then laughed, arching his back in a stretch that was absolutely a tease. For the record, touching is absolutely in the pool. But you're correct. Now, unfortunately, is not the time. We still have logistics to discuss. On that note, while I don't like the idea of bringing our children into active war zones, I agree that the circumstances require it. What equipment do we need for them? How much space? And what do we need in order to support you for the next month and after... Sturgeon trailed off. After egg-laying? Kit laughed. From there, the conversation got technical. Monk listened for anything he could help with, already making lists of which Vode to put on egg sustain and guard duty, which storage area, which bunk room to clear for the equipment. As the conversation was winding down, Kit grimaced and said, I'm not ashamed of you or our children. However, I believe we should keep this secret from the Order. I'm not sure how they will react, and none of us needs the distraction. Monk nodded firmly. You have to keep our part of the parenting secret. The Kaminoans have, he swallowed harshly, rules. When Monk explained the rules, Kit's large eyes narrowed, and he said only, Are we ready? The Vode have their orders. The Senator is safely with General Skywalker. One of the Vod in the hall snorted. Monk ignored them to keep panicking. Kit smiled at them and winked. It was true Anakin and Padme got into the wildest of scrapes, but Kit was fairly sure that at least Padme would put herself in less danger given the lives she was carrying. Kit had certainly stayed far away from danger for the past month, the small potential lights in his belly better at getting him to reconsider than any injury he'd ever had. Monk continued his panicking, like the trooper hadn't spoken. You've double-checked the tube? We don't need... Sturgeon cut him off, pushing him into the refurbished bunk room that was now egg laying and storage. Kit slipped in with them and waved casually again at the vore guarding the door before it shut. Sturgeon was talking. "We have the best equipment we could get. Kit approved all of it. I know and have all the required nutrients, and I've been practicing the freezing technique on those fish eggs we got from the planet 3 weeks ago. Stop panicking. Everything is fine." He glanced behind them, probably to check the door was shut, but caught Kit grinning at them instead, and lowered his voice. "You're making our Vore panic." "Kark," Monk said, and tried to pull himself together. Kit grinned and slung an arm around each of their gloriously broad shoulders. "We'd better be ready, Vore, because my body is ready to lay." Monk let out a delightful little shriek, and Sturgeon staggered as he suddenly took all of Kit's weight. "Let's get you ready, then," Sturgeon said, ignoring Monk. Kit laughed and let his arms fall, brushing toned backs and asses on their way down. He never laid before and was somewhat nervous. It wasn't as dangerous as mammalian childbirth, but it wasn't without risk, especially to the potential young. Most accounts described laying as one of the most pleasurable experiences a Nautolan could ever experience. But Kit had read highly respected authors glorify the mammalian birth process, and if Kit had learned anything during the rescue mission on Molteri 4, it was that mammalian birth was difficult, painful, and dangerous to both the child and parent. He and the Vore had been stuck in a cave waiting for 3 days for the tide to go down with a local family, one of whom gave birth during that time. He undressed, slowing when he saw Monk and Sturgeon watching rather than attending to whatever tasks they were supposed to be doing. Atek, Sholar, Kit noted absently, bustled in and wolf-whistled as Kit took off his shirt. Kit cocked his hip, pushing out his round, full belly and winked at the Vod. The medic that followed him in, Tib, Kit believed, hit him and pulled him to the equipment. Kit dropped his pants, and Sturgeon gave him a once-over as slow as the tides. His eyes dragged up Kit's body, lingering on where his genital fronds were exposed and ready for action, dripping on the floor a little, but drooping due to gravity, and on his chest, swollen and full. When his eyes met Kit's, he licked his lips before dragging his eyes back down Kit's body. "Yeah, I think we're ready. Get in the pool." Kit hummed and said, "Yes, sir," as he slipped into the shallow laying pool. Tib choked, and Monk's eyes went wide, but Sturgeon only grinned and said, "Nah, that's Monk. How's the water?" He let himself feel it. The water needed to be within a specific range of temperature so as not to shock the eggs. "Very nice," Kit said, letting his voice drop into an almost sub-vocal hum. He could feel himself opening and his muscles moving. His nerves lit up at the movement inside him and, oh, the accounts weren't lying. He was already panting, and he felt his genital fronds extending, some stretching out into the pool, testing the water and making Kit moan as the sensitive tendrils swirled the water, the others extending into him, dislodging the eggs and readying them to move, making Kit arch and shudder at the internal stimulation. His hormones were already ratcheting up, and he felt on the edge of orgasm. He tipped his head back and let his mouth fall open, causing all the Vore in the room to let out wanting noises. "Wait a moment, Monk," Sturgeon said, settling in with a medical scanner trained on Kit and a pad in his lap. "I need Kit to verbalize when it starts." Kit whined in protest. He wanted Monk's cock down his throat now. "Fuck," Monk swore in a rare break of professionalism. "I just, your belly." "Touch me," Kit said, tried hard not to make it an order. Monk obeyed anyway, hands starting at his shoulders and sliding down his body, squeezing at his chest, rolling his nipples before plunging into the water and groping his belly. Monk was hunched over, nearly falling into the pool, his cock straining at his blacks, mere centimeters from Kit's mouth. Kit stretched out his tongue and managed to brush the tip of it to Monk's shaft, and Monk startled and moaned and lost his balance, which put his weight onto Kit's belly, and all Kit could feel was blinding white pleasure as he came. He managed a garbled, "It's starting," as the eggs were pressed from him. There was a lot of yelling around him, and then the pressure was gone and the pleasure receded a bit. "Are you okay, sir? I need you to respond." Sturgeon's voice was calm, but the medical officer in the midst of crisis calm, not relaxed and horny calm. "Yes," Kit managed to slur out. "How are you feeling?" Sturgeon still sounded worried. Kit let out a noise of pure pleasure. "I feel good. So good." The atmosphere of the room suddenly relaxed, and Kit opened his mouth again. The eggs were a steady stream now, and while the pleasure wasn't all-encompassing anymore, it was a steady tide of need. Fingers brushed Kit's mouth, and he sucked them in, letting his tongue wrap around them as his head tentacles wrapped around Monk's wrist to keep his fingers there. "Sturgeon?" Monk asked. He was trying to be firm, but Kit could hear the need and slight whine in his voice. "Yeah, I've got a read on it. You're good." He, too, sounded breathy and turned on. When Kit rolled his head slightly to see him, Sturgeon was flushed and hard and desperate despite clinging to his professionalism. It had been so easy for him to keep it together during Kit's season, but this? Kit arched his chest a little. This was apparently even hotter to Sturgeon. The flow of eggs were non-stop pressure and motion in his slit and passage, and then one of his fronds shifted slightly and Kit gasped, jerking and shaking as his orgasm peaked again. When he came down as much as he could, given the continuing stream of pleasure, Monk's cock was out and right there. Kit let his fingers slide out of his mouth and opened his throat as Monk's cock slid in. He wanted to do this underwater. Suck Monk down completely and not let him out until he'd come down Kit's throat, breathing through his gills rather than his mouth. Another time. Now he let Monk use his throat and rub and thrust a counterpoint and harmony to the unending stream of pleasure from his slit. The sounds of skin on skin filled the air, and Kit suspected Tib and Sholar were touching themselves to the show. It made Kit glow brighter, the knowledge that the Vode, his school, were watching and finding pleasure in this. After what felt like an eternity suspended in pleasure, Kit gasped around Monk's cock and pulled away. He needed air. The last few eggs trickled from him slowly, an aching tease, but something was coming. "Hands out of your pants and on the machines. Eggs are done. Just the rest of Sturgeon's barked orders were lost as Kit's gut cramped hard enough that he half sat up, Monk's hands on his shoulders, pressing his down and wrapping around him, soothing. "Oh, right," Kit managed to think, past the discomfort. "The rest of the fluid, a mix of nutrient fluid, absorbed semen, and a mild deterrent for natural predators of gliansome." Kit arched and cried out as his egg sac cramped and then released all at once. His eyes rolled and he convulsed. Monk's hands buried in his head tentacles, keeping his head from knocking into the hard floor, adding to the sensations flooding him. When it was over, he slumped, unable to move, body still ringing with pleasure. "Commander, get him out of the water. We'll take them from here," Sholar said, and arms slid under Kit's armpits, and he was lifted from the water and laid out on a soft mat. "Wait a moment before starting the checks," Sturgeon called, and spread Kit's legs, brushing fingers along the outside of his slit. "I need to check to be sure all the eggs are out. May I?" Kit tried to spread his legs, but he was too exhausted to do more than twitch. He managed a noise of assent and a gentle push with the force. The eggs should all be out. That was another purpose of the fluid release. But Kit had read all the same horror stories of unlaid eggs as Sturgeon had. Sturgeon's fingers slid into him and Kit whined. It was too much and yet felt perfect, a stretch against overworked, oversensitive muscles. The fingers felt around and Kit squirmed, hands clutching weakly at Monk's thighs. Fuck, Sturgeon bit out, his breathing heavy as he finally withdrew his fingers. His voice was tight with desire as he said, "We're clear. You're good to start." Kit whined at the loss of the fingers. One of the two bit back their own curse that they wouldn't get to watch, and Monk squeezed Kit's hands and said, "The recordings will be there later. The eggs need you now." "Sir." They turned their attention to Kit's eggs. Their eggs. "Sturgeon." Kit's voice wavered, but he wanted this. "In me, if you please." He wanted the stretch and the too much pleasure and to feel Sturgeon feel his overworked insides. To feel Sturgeon and Monk take their pleasure too. Sturgeon hesitated and Kit could feel Monk's sly twist, the feeling he got before one of his rare breaks in professionalism. As he said, "You need to be sure he's clean. Clean him deep and flush him out." Sturgeon made a noise that Kit last heard when he'd been shot in the gut. Then there was a cock sliding into him, and he arched and dropped his mouth open in invitation, and Monk was sliding in, and Kit was stretched open and cradled between them, cared for, their eggs being carefully frozen behind them. For a moment, the force was nothing but rightness and light around them. Monk couldn't believe that this was actually happening. He stood at the edge of a hatching pool on Glee Anselm, watching their eggs, their potential tubies, float around and get ready to hatch. They'd grown immensely since they'd been transferred to the pool. Still too small for a near-human tubie, but apparently larger than most pure Natolan eggs. Almost all were viable, too, which also apparently wasn't normal. The Voda had pumped their general so full of their cum they'd fertilized every last egg inside him. Monk felt hot just thinking of it. Of general, not a general anymore. Of Kit Fisto round and glowing and filled with them. "Gotta thank these little Adike," Sturgeon said, bumping his shoulder against Monk's, pad out as it always was these days. Endlessly documenting and learning about Natolan and near-Natolan biology. "Yeah," Monk said. "And they really, really would. Without the eggs, well." Without the eggs, they wouldn't have connected with Fox and discovered that there was something wrong with the guard. There wouldn't have been a reason for Sturgeon to investigate the Vore's genetics. At first out of interest to see how human and Natolan genetics combined, and then, as Monk found out by Sturgeon freaking out in his room on four different night cycles, to see if there were mutations in Fett DNA or tweaks the long necks had made that would impact their Adike. And combining the research with some invasive full-body scanning revealed lots of potential problems. Not necessarily for the Adike. Though Monk had watched as the anti-rapid aging agent was introduced to the hatching pool with a sense of relief, their Ada wouldn't have to go through the awful inoculation process like the last few tubies had. But the scans and genetic mapping, all illegal according to the Kaminoans, revealed the chips, among other control contingencies. There weren't many Voda who were willing to go against the Kaminoans or the Republic. Jedi support be damned, they were created to be loyal. But even the hint of potential to-be generals with Vod DNA got their best hackers investigating and got Marshal Commander Cody to get his general to press for lawyers and other beings to challenge the claims on clone reproductive rights. Somehow it had been Monk, not Cody or Sturgeon, that Fox turned to when he found a general bleeding out and on the verge of falling in the Chancellor's office, and Monk, who stayed on Holo with him as the Jetty instinctively burned the darkness from his mind and the minds of the medics helping him. Fox and his general, Vor? Vought? Voss? Something like that, were on J75610, a moon in this system that was generally inhabitable but had some large predators that some of the Vore were already eyeing up and had deterred other parties from settling there. With some of the guard and about half of the 69th building their homes and relaxing, and generally making the moon habitable for the Adike. A heavy arm settled over his shoulder, and a tentacle curled lightly around his neck. Monk leaned into Kit. His general was no longer a general. Firstly, because the war was finally over. There were still dregs to mop up, but Monk left that to the Vore that had only just hit the battlefield and were disappointed that it was over so soon. But all sides were reconciling slowly, exploring new organizational structures or whatever bantha shit Fox kept going on about. That started pretty quickly once the Sith controlling everything went down. Monk still wasn't quite sure who figured out that the Chancellor was a Sith. The events around the Chancellor's, former Chancellor's, death were extremely jumbled and none of the people involved were talking. The Jedi Council probably knew, and Cody definitely knew. Fox had been involved, but Monk wasn't asking him about it anytime soon. Monk had been in the middle of a campaign in the Hetho system, spending every moment he wasn't trying to keep his Vore and general alive, worrying desperately about the eggs in the storage room in their ship. Their ship that had been in the middle of firefights and trying to defend the local population from Grievous. He'd been much too worried about his own situation to care about anything in the core. Only Kid had staggered and looked up with tears in his eyes and said, "The Sith is dead," and Monk knew something happened. Needless to say, Grievous didn't take it well. He'd made a run at the Leviathan and, well, Monk flushed even now when he thought about Kit in that moment, protective fury in every line of him. The duel had been incredibly hot. Monk slid his lips over Kit's tentacle as he remembered, and Kit chuckled lowly. "Something on your mind?" "Your duel with Grievous," Monk answered honestly. Sturgeon laughed at him and said, "We should get it out of our systems now. Once the Adika hatch, we won't have time for fucking." Monk rolled his eyes at Sturgeon, but let his mouth open as he dragged it over Kit's tentacle. They had time. It wasn't like Kit had any duties at this point. Even now, weeks after the war wound down, they weren't quite sure if Kit was still part of the Jedi Order. As far as Monk knew, the Order was reevaluating its stance on attachment and families. None of the Jedi wanted to dismiss the Vore, and more generals had secret kids than just Kit and General Skywalker. Regardless, Kit made it clear to them, his school, that if the Order didn't allow him to parent his new school, he would leave. Kit moaned, and Monk smiled against his tentacle. He'd known they were more sensitive than Kit let on. He dropped his head and sucked the curling tip into his mouth. Sturgeon swore and nearly dropped his pad, and Kit let out a deep moan, and together they dragged Monk away from the pool in search of somewhere more private. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and want to leave feedback, you're more than welcome to. You can find this podfic wherever you found it in the first place, and that should be where you could leave feedback for me. Thanks for listening. Author's notes. This came about when Flower Parish and I were talking about something. Probably baby clones or Kit Fisto laying eggs. And I realize, you know who's used to a lot of babies being born all at once? The Vorda! Also, this fic was nearly called Scrambled, Stuffed, and Poached. Because my brain is like that. The actual title is Because I Still Can't Let the Egg Theme Go, caviar, and wanted something fancier than just torrid, which certainly describes Kit and Monk's feelings and physical states during this fic. And as far as I know, torridum isn't an English word. The only thing I could find searching for it online was that the English word torrid actually comes from the Latin word, one of the congregations of which is torridum, which is kind of how I sort of made it up in my mind. So, yay, recognizing structures, I guess.